Scripture reading this morning is from Proverbs, the second chapter, verses 1 through 8. Proverbs 2, verses 1 through 8. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear into wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints.
Good morning. It's good to see everyone out. It's good to be here each and every Lord's Day. It seems like the only safe place that I have to come and not be bombarded by the difficult times that we're having in this country. But we come here and take all our worldly thoughts away from us and dwell upon edifying one another, exhorting one another. And that's our main purpose here, to worship God in spirit and truth and to edify one another, make one another feel comfortable to be with one another and desires to be with one another, and to look to each other first before ourselves. So as I was preparing a lesson, there are several that I've kind of looked at and thought about. But I'd like to talk about wisdom. And we always talk about wisdom and everything. And throughout the world, throughout the times, the philosophers are always trying to attain more knowledge. And we in this country are always trying to attain to more knowledge. Whether medical, history, what can be technology, things of that nature. We're always trying to attain more knowledge. But as we do attain that knowledge, a lot of times we don't apply that knowledge that we find. And that is what wisdom is. It's the application of knowledge. But it goes a little deeper than that when you look into God's Word. It's something that we receive, we can ask for it and receive. It's wisdom, but it has to be on our part. We have to make an effort to gain that wisdom. You look in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, Paul talks about this wisdom, that everything in the world is foolish in God's eyes. As you look in the first chapter in verse 18, it says, "For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world?" How is that? Well, you think about it, God sent forth his Son, who came, who died, and was raised. To the world, that didn't make sense. How could that happen? Why would that happen? And then Paul also said in other places, it's a stumbling block for those. Peter talks about it. It's a stumbling block for those who do not believe. As you go on, in verse 21, it says, "For since the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to those who believe." This is foolishness to them. To those that are not believing, it's foolishness to them. But the wisdom of God is much greater than that. So as we think about wisdom, we can look throughout the Old Testament. And Alan read a little bit there in Proverbs about that. And that's what we're going to kind of deal with, those first three chapters. And it's Solomon talking about wisdom. But if you look at it a little closer, it's God speaking through Solomon and said, "My son," in other words, "my children, this is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to think about." Solomon talks about as his son, and we'll go through some of that. But also Solomon, in his young age, he became king. And in 1 Kings, the third chapter, in verses 18 and following, he talks about, he comes, God asks him, ask what you want to receive from me. And what did Solomon ask for? He said, I'm young. I have this great nation that I've been put in charge of. Give me some wisdom. Give me wisdom that I may lead it properly. And God answered him and said, because you've asked for this and not for riches and not for to go against your enemies, the life of your enemies, I'm going to give you this wisdom plus all the things you didn't ask for. And so Solomon became the richest king before, none before him, none after him. The wisest king, none before him, none after him. And he wrote several Proverbs, and he wrote Ecclesiastes. And as you look at those, and it's kind of look at those books as he wrote, he kind of wrote that, I think the Proverbs, he started out writing them as he went through his life. And Ecclesiastes, I think, was towards the end of his life. Because he, as you read through those chapters, those first 11 chapters of Ecclesiastes, you see things that Solomon tried to experience. What would be better than fear God and keep his commandments? He said, there's nothing better. I've tried everything. So he was put in a position that he could try everything for us. In other words, he tried every worldly thing, and he found out it was nothing but striving after wind. It was foolishness. It did not mount to anything. In the whole scheme of things, it did not mount to anything. And that's where we, as a people, not only in this nation, but other nations throughout time, have always fallen down in. We forget that God has control. And if we seek after him, everything will pan out okay. In the grand scheme of things, what's important? As Solomon said, fear God and keep his commandments. In your youth, don't wait till the end of your life to decide to do it. He said, begin in your youth and start up. And that's what he does here in Proverbs. Now, if you will, turn over to Proverbs, the first chapter. And we'll kind of look through that as we talk about wisdom. And before we get too far, there's about 5 points that I'm going to bring up concerning wisdom. And wisdom is something that man seeks. But the wisdom of God, man don't seek. But it's there and it's available to anyone who seeks it. Look at James, the first chapter, verse 5. What's he say there? We'll turn over and read that. Hold your place there in Proverbs because we'll be back there in a few minutes. But there in James, the first chapter, in verse 5, James, talking to the people there, the 12 tribes that were dispersed abroad. In verse 2, he says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfected and complete, lacking in nothing. And in verse 5, he says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. What's he say in the next verse? He said, but he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man and unstable in all his ways. So what's he saying? He said, ask, and it'll be given to you free. And he said, ask how? Not doubting. Believe that God's going to give it to you. And he's going to give you, and he also talks about, he's going to give, and Peter talks about, he's going to give you all things you need concerning life and godliness. Pertain to all those things. You're going to be given those things. But wisdom is going to be given to you. So wisdom in God's mind, or in God's word, as we look throughout, as we'll be going through today, we see it's something that you want to seek after. You're going to attain all this knowledge. You study the scriptures daily. You read the scriptures daily, you're going to attain knowledge. But the important thing is, how am I going to apply that knowledge to my life that I can live according to what God wants me to live, the life he wants me to live? That's the application. That's the wisdom. That's learning how to overcome those trials and things that you deal with each and every day. Let's go back over here to Proverbs, and we'll start here in that first chapter. and read a few verses and just kind of talk about those verses as we go through. And then in the end, we're going to see what the benefits or what the rewards of wisdom are to us. There in the first chapter, and you can see that first verse talks about Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. So it definitely shows you who is writing these things. I said to know wisdom, in verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So what's the beginning of knowledge? The fear of the Lord. In other words, the respect, knowing that there is a God and that he expects things from his people. That he expects things from not only his people, but from mankind. He expects mankind to come to him. And then in this next few verses here, it talks about what wisdom will help them with. It says, he talks about the enticement of sinners and how you overcome those things. As you read down through those, there's different things that have been brought about, like the shedding of innocent blood, the adulterer, setting an ambush, and things of that nature, things that you do not do. Well, as you get down to verse 20, he talks about wisdom. He said, wisdom shouts in the streets. It's open so everyone can hear it. It wants everyone to become and get that wisdom. It says there in that 21st, where he talks about, he said, she lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her sayings. So she's out there. Wisdom is out there to be gained, to be taken. But what's he saying in the next verse? He said, this is the ones that do not receive this wisdom, does not try to get this wisdom, does not try to study the scriptures daily. Does that tell you to be studied to show themselves approved, a workman that need not be ashamed? So that's what he's saying. To these that do not do that, here is what he says. How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. So think about that as you think about yourself. Are you seeking knowledge? Or are you that naive one, still wanting to keep that simple mind, not wanting to get too much knowledge because you're afraid of what that may come? Paul talks about things in Hebrews. He said, I'm writing some things to you, but you cannot understand them yet. Because why? You have to be retaught. And he's talking about things about Melchizedek. He said, you have to be retaught the simple, in other words, the fundamentals of the gospel. Are we there? We need to study. We need to build that knowledge up, that we are not naive and that we want to grow more. This, as a Christian, it's an everyday walk of life. It's an everyday upward climb. You're seeking to better yourself as a Christian. You're seeking to see those inner thoughts of God, those deep things that only the learned and that can, those that can discern right and wrong. That's what he's talking about there. And in Hebrews also, when he talks about that the word's like a double-edged sword, two-edged sword. You want to be able to pierce. The truth is piercing, that you can be able to discern right from wrong. So that's knowledge. You're building that knowledge up. You're working and building knowledge up. And as he goes on down into the verse 23, and he's talking about his son, but he's also, I think it's God talking through Solomon to us, saying, verse 23 says, turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you, because I called you and you refused. I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention, and you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish comes upon you. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. So they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be saturated with their own devices. So he's talking about if you don't accept this knowledge, if you don't go after this wisdom, this is what's going to happen to you. God's going to not hear your prayers. Because when do most people come to God? In their time of distress, in their time of need, when everything else they've tried does not work. Then they come to God, which they should have came to Him to begin with. That's when they come. He said, you're going to seek this wisdom, but it's not going to come about now because you didn't accept it. You didn't have built that knowledge up in your heart. Did not build that knowledge up in your mind. Then as we go over, skip over to chapter 2, and Alex said, Alan read the first 8 verses there. In verse 9 it says, then you will, well, let's go back up to verse 8. It says, it talks about this, he who stores up wisdom, verse 7, for the upright, he is a shield for those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice, verse 8, and preserves the way of his godly ones. Then you will discern righteousness and justice and equity and every good course. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will guard you. Understanding will watch over you. To deliver you from the way of the evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who lead the paths of uprightness, to walk in the paths of darkness. So, what's wisdom going to do for you? You're going to build the knowledge up. You're going to understand when you come, oh, should I do this? Well, wait a minute. That's kind of contradictory to what I say I believe. It's contradictory to what God has written down. Or as you have that wisdom, you're going to know what to do in each situation. And a lot of times if temptation falls upon you, you're going to know, hey, no, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to step away. I'm not going to put myself in that place to be tempted. If you have something that you're weak with, you have a sin that so easily entangles you, as you gain wisdom, knowledge and wisdom, you're going to be able to say, okay, hey, wait a minute. I can't handle this. I need not to be caught up in that. And it may be an easy example would be, say you're a treasurer, or you've been elected to be a treasurer, but you always have a problem with money. And we've seen it throughout time that people have been put in a position where they have to take care of funds, and then what happens? They kind of take some. So if you happen to be in that situation where, oh, I can't handle it, then you say, your wisdom, your knowledge is going to say, I'm not good for that. I better step away from that. Or it may be something else. He talks about, some of these verses, about the adulterous woman to the young man. She teases him to try to bring him to her. Well, knowledge and wisdom would say, hey, wait a minute, I don't need to be in that situation. I don't need to be going here where I'll be tempted because I cannot handle that, so I need to step away. And whatever it may be, each one of us has something that we have trouble with. So as we study God's Word and knowledge build up into us, and then we start applying the wisdom that we have, or applying the knowledge through our wisdom, then we're going to be able to step away from those things. Then as we go a little bit further down, and it goes over to chapter 3 where I wanted to get started. It talks about the rewards of wisdom. What wisdom is going to do for you. We've talked about how we can get wisdom, but what can wisdom do for us? Well, we talked a little bit about that. It can help you make the right decisions and the right things. But what does Solomon say about those? If you begin in verse 1, it says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For the length of days of your life and the peace they will add to you, do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of man and God. Okay, now think about these verses here. Okay, he says, my son, he's talking to us. He's talking to his children. He said, let my teaching. They said, but put it upon your heart. Keep it in your heart. Keep the commandments in your heart. In other words, you're going to study on them. You're going to make reference to them daily. You're going to understand. You're going to be thinking about those things. He said, for the length of your days of your life. He said, not just till you're 21, or not till you're such and such age, but said all the days of your life. Let that be in your mind. Let that grow in your mind. And that way you can think about those things. David talks about there in 119th Psalm, he talks about God's command, his precepts, how he loves them, how he wants to do them, how they are a light unto his feet, how they help him, and he can meditate upon it, and keeps him from sinning against us. So that's what sinning against God. So that's what this would do for us. And that's what he's talking about here. In verse 3 says, he said, but don't let kindness and truth leave you. Don't let it. If you look over in 12th chapter of Romans, it talks about kindness, how love is, and also the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians talks about love. It talks about how we are, what love is. Well, he says here, don't let truth and kindness leave you. Keep that always in front of you. Think the betterment for your fellow man, the betterment for your fellow Christian. Put them first ahead of yourself, just as Jesus did in there in Philippians, the second chapter, he talks about that. Paul talks about that, how Jesus put people first before him. And as you go on into that fourth verse, it says that this way you'll find favor in the sight of man and God. If you do good to all men, people are going to notice that. You're going to find favor with man. But not only man, but you're going to find favor with God. What did Jesus talk about there on the Mount as he gave those the sermon there on the Mount? He talked about prayer. He talks about if you're giving, don't let nobody do it. If you're fasting, don't let nobody know about it. Because who's going to reward you? God's going to reward you. Because he's going to see you. The one that does those in secret, he's going to reward you. And as we go on down this verse 5 and following down, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and not lean on your own understanding. Verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. So this is a part of that wisdom. You're gaining knowledge. You're gaining this wisdom because you're going to be able to lean on God and not your own knowledge, your own understanding. You're going to lean on what God has provided for you to lean upon. His word is there. It never changes. And he said, just go make your path straight. In other words, you're not going to have to do curves. You're going to have a straight path, straight and narrow, as Jesus talked about in the 7th chapter of Matthew. He said, don't become wise in your own ways. He said, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Don't use any excuse, but turn away from evil. And knowledge and wisdom is going to show you what evil is and what you should stay away from. Then as you go down a bit further, he starts telling you what those rewards are, what it gives you, what wisdom gives you if you apply it. There in verses, beginning in verse 8, it said it'll be a healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. You're going to have to be, and as you go on, you'll see why he's talking about it. It says, honor the Lord from your wealth and the first of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. So he's saying, give everything to the Lord first. Put the Lord first, and all these other things will be taken care of. You won't have to worry about anything. Believe that God has control. Yeah, in this world times that we're living in now, we don't know what's in control. But we do. Christians know who's in control. And sometimes that old saying, he's letting them have enough rope to hang themselves. But fear God and keep his commandments and put him first, then all this other stuff, well, it won't go away, but it won't be resting upon you that's all you're thinking about. Because you know what? In the grand scheme of things, this all things that in this world's going on today, it'll be gone. There'll be something else in 10 years or less. And we've seen that throughout the last 4 or 5 months. One thing, nope. Another thing, nope. Another thing. So it's just trying to keep your mind going. But if we'd all sit back and just think a minute. Okay. What's the most important thing? Our God and His people. And if we live with that in mind, we'll be at peace. And that's what we'll see, find out as we'll see what wisdom will give you. Then he goes down in verse 11 and says, "My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his report, reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves. Even the father corrects the son in whom he delights." So we know what, we kind of understand all that. But the Lord disciplines his people. He tries his people to see whether they're going to accept him or something else. He took the land of Canaan. They came in, took it over. They didn't get rid of all of them. But so what he did, he said, "I'm going to leave them there to test you, to see whether you're for me or not, whether you're going to trust in me or not." There's things that, even in Christian lives, there's things that come about that test us to see where we're going to fall. Are we going to say, "I'm going to follow the Lord," and not get wrapped up in things of this world, what, for whatever they may be or whatever they may be? Trust in those and not the Lord, but we'll never find peace that way. We'll never find joy that way. Where our heart will be, you'll have a pit in your stomach all the time. But if you trust in the Lord and believe that He is in control, then you'll have peace. You'll have joy. And he goes on down in verse 13. He says, "How blessed is a man who finds wisdom and a man who gains understanding." This is what he's talking about. He said, "For her profit is better than the profit of gold and silver, or of silver, and her gain better than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her right hand, and her left hand is honor. Her ways are pleasant, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast." So we see, he's continuing to say, these things in the world, don't grab hold of them, because they're not going to bring you peace. They're going to bring you drama. They're going to bring you heartache. But if you grab a hold of the things of the Lord, His Word, and trust in it, all these other things will go away. Because you'll have peace. It'll be that peace, Paul talks, we say that peace that surpasses all understanding. And that's what wisdom will give you. Once you've learned to trust completely in the Lord, not just a little bit, or not worry about it until you have heartaches, until you have trouble, until you have a death in the family, until you have financial problems, until you have a whatever it may be, a pandemic, whatever it may be. Trust in the Lord and it will give you peace. Have wisdom and it will give you peace. Because here, Solomon's telling us what it would take. Then you go on down to verse 23. Well, verse 20, the last part of 21 starts that next. It says, "Keep sound wisdom and discretion." He said, "What's it going to do for you?" "So that you will be, it will be a light to your soul and adornment to your neck. Then you will walk in your way securely and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden fear, nor of the onslaught of the wicked when it comes. For why? Why should you not?" Verse 26, "For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught." Then he goes on and talks about, hey, this, you can be secure in this. You can lay down at night and have no fear. Your sleep will be sweet. It'll be rest. You know, and all of us have probably done this, you go to bed and sleep, but then things that you're working on, things that you're trying to figure out, overtakes your sleep. And you lay awake all night trying to figure those things out. And then 2 weeks later, it wasn't nothing. Or 2 days later, it wasn't nothing. It all worked out pretty good. Then we go on now, he then at towards the rest of the chapter, he talks about what wisdom is going to cause you to do. And the first thing it's going to cause you to do is, he says, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I'll give it to you when you have it with you. Do not advise harm against your neighbor while he lives securely beside you. In other words, while he trusts you. It says, do not envy a man of violence and do not choose any of his ways. For the devious are an abomination to the Lord. He is intimate with the upright. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous. Though he scoffs at the scoffers, yet he gives grace to the afflicted. The wise will inherit honor, but the fools display dishonor. So as you look throughout all of this, what conclusion can we come to? Well, first of all, we want to gain all the knowledge we can, but we want to make the proper application. In other words, we want to gain that wisdom, that godly wisdom, not worldly wisdom, but godly wisdom, so we can make the right decisions, the proper decisions. But I think there's two things we can draw from this as we study this. And it's something that Moses talked about. It's something that Christ talked about. He said there's two commandments that the whole law hinges on. The first one is, love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, and soul. The second is what? Love your neighbor as yourself. And if you look throughout these three chapters, he's talking about gaining wisdom, but what's going to happen? You're going to live right before God, and you're going to have favor with man, because you're going to treat man properly, and you're going to reverence God, fear God. So that's what he's always coming down to. And as you read the whole Bible, that's what it comes down to. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, and love your neighbor as yourself. So that's what wisdom will give to you, because then you'll understand, hey, that's pretty easy. I can do that. So I want you today to think on these things and just consider them. And take and go ahead and read them again. I had several other verses we could look at. Job talks a lot about God's wisdom there in the last few chapters of Job. But the wisdom that we want is the one that comes from above, that's pure, that's holy, it shows forth righteousness. So consider these thoughts, and if you're subject to imitation, won't you come as we stand and sing?